Army for Santa Cruz.
Can I get a hug?
No.
Love you, Karen.
Love you, Karen.
My clean date is August 25th, 1976. Tony and I were just tripping out about how we can't believe this is us doing this. Just ridiculous. You ever have a substitute teacher in school? Anyone here ever went to school? Yeah, so I'm a substitute. They had this great panel figured out. And then a couple weeks ago, I get this phone call. Would you mind doing the old fart meeting? Except they said it differently. And I was like, sure, I'll be of service. Then I found out I'm like second string. Yeah, they had three good men lined up. And I'm rather masculine, so. It's not much of a switch. So, I've been asking people, I said, what do you hope to gain from being at the old fart meeting? What do you want to hear? And some people said, just be yourself, which is a stupid idea. And then other people were like, well, the history. And I immediately felt like some relic from the Smithsonian that would probably get buried because of this administration. But anyway. So sorry I said that, oops. So, what I want to say is I got clean in North Hollywood, and the very first meeting I ever went to was a meeting at an AA clubhouse, and it was the last meeting of that program that I think that Jimmy Kinnon ever chaired. And he just happened to be the leader that night. What a coincidence. And I went in there, and very short qualification. There are many categories of addicts. I was told once, you're not a real addict because you never lived in a dumpster. And they had never taken a tour of my brain, though. Total dumpster. And so what I want to say is my favorite thing about the program of Narcotics Anonymous is it's about addiction and not about substance. But that wasn't spoken about back then. Back then, there was a very prescribed type of person that you had to be, and a very prescribed number of things that you could talk about, or you would be accused of blaming. So I come to Narcotics Anonymous. Back then, by coincidence, Jimmy is speaking, and I don't even know why I'm in that room. It's like I was a puppy in a whelping box that something or somebody picked up by the neck and dropped me somewhere else. I really couldn't figure out why I was in there. I couldn't figure out why I hadn't taken anything since midnight. And why was I in there? And there were this row of people from a recovery house to which we are not related to in any way, but just everyone in the program at the time was affiliated, and being really great counselors because we had so much training, and they're sitting in a row in this what they called half measures room, and I remember there was somebody there with a week clean, and I couldn't believe somebody actually had a week, because at the time, like, you know how I said there are prescribed different types of addicts, and there are, dumpster addicts, and then there's pill heads, and then there's, whatever. And I'm the annoying kind. Like, you ever have a mosquito in your room? It's so freaking annoying. All you want to do is have some peace, but there's this. That's the kind of addict I was. I was really, because I used from the age 12 to 21. And so in those spaces, I was in your face wanting some. Can I have some? Can I have some? Give me some. And people would give me stuff to kind of watch me because it was entertaining. But also just because I was there and that's what you did. Yeah, so I showed up and I was not the prescribed type. I was one of three Jews in the program at the time. When I'm surrounded by guys who just got out of prison, covered with swastikas and all kinds of other stuff. And my DNA is just going, this isn't safe, you know. And everyone's chanting and kind of like raising their arms. And it's like, flashback. So I'm in this room, guys from this program, I'm seeing tattoos I was completely unfamiliar with. Like, Jews get tattoos, but they don't volunteer for them. It usually happens while they're screaming, you know. And so there's guys in there with these things like peacocks with feathers and all, and they're in what I learned was called a ditch, you know. And I'm looking at all this and I don't get it. I don't get the culture. I don't get the language. But I'm in this room for some reason. Over a course of time, what it was like back then, I want to say it was like the Wild West in the 70s. You know, people, it's so sophisticated now. People talk about spiritual principles. The 300 spiritual principles, right, Roberta? All the spiritual principles. We read about them and we look them up on A&I talks about them and we have books about spiritual principles. And you know, back then it was like, don't be a dick. That was the principle. Don't do that. Don't take nothing no matter what. You know, God forbid you have high blood pressure. You know, it's better to stroke out. Don't take nothing no matter what. Now we're all 100 years old and we're finding that we need to modify a little bit. Because I don't want to pop a vein while I'm talking to you. So it was rugged back then. There was this place, I'm sure you've heard of, the Survivors Club. Total violation of traditions. Somebody decided we're going to have an NA clubhouse. Total violation, right? But there was one guy with a good job. His name was Doug Forsmith. He was a property manager. He did props for films and stuff, so he had an income. So he was the guy who could go and rent the place. A little sort of a rectangular building. I got crabs there twice. And not in a fun way. In a restroom kind of way. It was great. And we all took turns sitting in this place trying to keep the doors open for addicts to come in. And we had some very interesting visitors come, some freshly out of jail. I remember this one man who referred to himself as Tiger. And Tiger came in there freshly out of some kind of prison thing and was letting us know that he had been in for 11 years and he was brand new and all this. And within a week, he had 11 years clean. There was, Survivors Club had a shooting and a stabbing, and they both lived. So Survivors Club, good. Yeah, and we had meetings in there, little tiny meetings. There's a woman here who I remember from my very first meeting, Kathy. And I remember listening to her talk about her toddler's shoes one meeting. And I'll never forget, she's one of the few people who remain. Oh wait, women don't get clean and they don't have clean time. Sorry, I'm lying. Wait, you're 50, how many years? 51 now? 51 years. And I want to say that it's just all the grace of a power greater than ourselves. And I don't even want to get into that because maybe yes, maybe no, probably for sure. But I want to say that there is a whole lot of difficulty that we've stayed clean through. And I suspect that that's actually why you came in this meeting. You want to hear what it was like, but we also want to know that you can stay clean through life. Okay, yeah, nodding, yes, okay. I don't know how much time I have. Anybody know?
3 minutes left.
3 minutes? Did you just?
15!
Oh, you scared the shit out of me. She's glad she did that to me, too.
Scared the shit out of the speaker.
Anyway, so when I say Wild West, it's like, you know, I'm joking. We have really good literature now. I go to a meeting every morning where we study a little bit of literature. And I've been doing that for pretty close to 6 years now. And we have so much stuff to avail ourselves of. We didn't have a book when I got clean. Everybody likes to say,
there was no book when I got clean. I had a little white pamphlet in my back pocket.
That's all, okay, fine, you're heavy. All you had was a pamphlet. Good for you. So the book comes out, and the book, by the way, was a little bit illiterate. It had some issues and contradictions in it. You know, you're an editor, right? And so I made the mistake of announcing that, and somebody came up to me with their hair on fire, just like, you're killing people by saying that the book has a problem. Which made me feel powerful, because, killing people. I didn't get any teardrops, because Jews don't get tattoos. Anyway, so onward. But there was really not this set of rules or code of ethics. Things were kind of wild. They would say we were under no surveillance at any time. And here I am at the Moor Park meeting, right, watching the patrol car go down the alley during the meeting. Yeah, no surveillance. Nice. And there were some giants in the meeting, little tiny giants. One man named Pepe Acuna. And, see his name without crying. Anyway, this man would say to us, he would sit in there and say things that were way over our heads, stuff like,
the only two things,
love and fear. And I what the fuck, I don't know about anything, about just trying not to take anything and trying to learn these steps. And he would talk about there's love and there's fear. And it was way over my head. But there is something so secure, you guys, about sitting in a meeting and having Pepe Acuna sit there in his little powder blue fisherman hat. And the fact that he had two kids with muscular dystrophy and he was staying clean anyway, right? And he would drive. This one day he goes to Arizona. He hears that there's a spiritual person who might be able to cure his kids, and he puts them in his van, which wasn't terribly adapted at the time. And they had just started the meetings in East LA, so we were just starting to really acknowledge that the Mexican-American Chicano population in the program was just really starting to burst. And here's this icon of recovery, Pepe, and he puts his kid in the van, he takes off for Arizona. And while he's in Arizona, you wouldn't believe what happened. This two-time murderer comes to his house, right? Along with this petty thief, former locksmith, and an ex-Hells Angel. And can you imagine what they did to his house? They repainted it. They did the landscaping. They installed ramps for the wheelchair lane, Dr. Lane, And so Pepe comes home in the van and he sees this incredible thing happen because he has taken the time to work his 12th step and to carry the message to people that society deemed as hopeless and irredeemable. And they were there given back in just the only way that they could at the time, right? And it was such a blessing to be around these people and unfortunately marrying one. But anyway, and then just see the beauty of walking them through and all the way through the passing of the sons and then ultimately the passing of Pepe. And he actually had a wife named Jeanette. Believe it or not, there was a woman involved in the recovery, just like Bob Barrett really was. He did find the only meeting, but Alma drove him. Alma drove him to that meeting, all right? She was not an addict. Alma used to sit in women's meetings so there would be enough women in the room at the Survivors Club. You remember Alma? Yeah. Okay. There's a lot of heroes in this foundation, and I don't mean to intimate that, this is where it started, okay, in this iteration. But a power greater than us was poking people in Kentucky and in Texas and New York. There were people clean in Vancouver before I got clean. So this is a movement, you guys. We are part of destiny. We are part of a movement that was beginning in many places kind of at the same time. Your founder was irritating. He used to clip his nails in meetings. It's just like, dude, do you remember the clipper? Oh my God. It was like a pencil going through my temple. It was like, tink, tink, tink. And I would be in a his house, right? And Betty too was making cookies, right, out of a mix, and I was judging her because she was using a mix, but I'm sitting at this table, and there's this hideous orange ashtray on the table because everybody's smoking like there's no tomorrow. And Jimmy's talking and talking and talking, and I'm like, God, he needs to shut up because I'm brilliant. I have so much to tell him about life, and he's just going on and on and on. And then the phone rings on the little porch, which was the office, and he goes out on the porch and answers the phone, and he gets all excited and comes in, that was someone from Chicago, you know? I'm like, who cares, someone from Chicago? The first world convention I ever went to was in San Francisco at the Jack Tar Hotel. It was the 6th or 7th, I don't know. And there was just a few, there, you know, we're there, we all got our fake nails and all tried to be Joanne. We all tried to be Joanne as best as we could, like all feminine with big fake nails and act all girly, which is kind of hard for some of us who aren't like that. And somebody, Frank Defries, was talking, he was saying, speaking, and somebody comes up to the thing, the podium, and announces there are 3 people there from Texas, and we lose our shit. We can't be feminine and girly and Joanne anymore. We're on our chairs with our napkins going, woo! People are clean in Texas! What the hell is this? And I'm crying. Texas! We can't even believe it. And that's, you know what? Let me tell you something. This is what it was like, and this is what I'm begging you to recapture, okay? I learned, this is really heavy, hang on to your seat. One of the first things I learned was that when someone's sick, it's a good idea and kind to bring them soup. And I want to talk about soup recovery, because what we had then was soup recovery. We learned to care for each other in an intimate way. When someone needed something, we learned how to show up, didn't we, Scott? We learned how to show up. We learned these things. We were self-centered, selfish people that had transactional relationships with everyone in our scope. And we started through these little actions, learning how to do stuff. I remember at the first 4th of July picnic, somebody said, we need someone to make potato salad. And my brain saw my arm go like this, right? And I'm making this potato salad, and I don't really know how to do it, but I'm making this hit because I'm going to contribute to Narcotics Anonymous. And I remember carrying this tray into that nasty hot park with all the crabgrass and crap in the valley, and I just got potato salad, and I'm urgently telling people, eat the potato salad! I made it for you! And they're just, like, losing it, you know? And this is the recovery that we have now. Yeah, somebody calls you at 3 in the morning and you don't have the phone on Do Not Disturb. You leave the thing off of Do Not Disturb so that somebody can interrupt you. And the other piece of this is if you try and get soup recovery and find out what someone needs and if you've got any, you can share it. There's a whole other piece of it that happens too sometimes around here, which are people that do not want the responsibility of being adult. So their recovery consists of hopping on people like stepping stones, going from person to person to person to person. What can you give me? What will you give me? This is what I need. Give this to me. Give this to me. And they're physical, financial, and emotional vampires. Ooh, I've been wanting to tell that to some people for a while. I know who you are. I carry that potential within me, you know? And I'm gonna tell you right now, please don't take advantage of us. Please do what you can for yourself. And if you can't do for yourself, find the appropriate help, but do not drain us. That was scary to say. I'm pretty sure I'm about done now, right? 5 minutes? What the hell? Okay, you probably want to hear about relationships or something juicy. Relationships, oh my God. I was married to somebody in this program for 26 years. So back then, boy meets girl, because it was very binary, and they hook up. They hook up, right? And right away, okay, we're together now. Now we have to get jewelry. Now we have to get a motorcycle. Oh, we need to move in together. Like you just met him at a coffee shop. Because that's kind of the way it was. You have chemistry with someone, oh, this must be who I have to be with and get the house and get the car and have the job and set up life together because my parts are tingling. And you know, that would happen first. Like, you meet somebody, okay, I'll sleep with you there. I just peed on the hydrant, you're mine. Well, this is not a GP recording, is it? Anyway, PG, whatever.
PG.
General practitioner, I'm all right. That's where I spend most of our time. So you hook up with somebody and you build this life and you come to meetings and you're a couple and you just look at people and you're very jealous of other people that might want your person that you own, you know. And you gather things and then you breed at a certain point. You know, and then I got the perfect kid. And then some of the things that have happened in my life is that I gave birth to a critically ill child, and that was not on the menu, okay? I was supposed to have the perfect little NA baby who goes running through the meeting, la 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 la. Look at me, I am a parent now, doing a great job. And here I am with a kid on life support monitoring, and I have to jumpstart her regularly. And I'm wondering, if I stay clean for 8 years and I give birth to this kind of a kid, what the heck? Why does a power greater than myself claim to love me and care for me if this is my situation? And I would like to say with great dignity that I handled myself beautifully in the NICU at Cedars, but actually they were about to bar me and remove custody of my child because I threatened to break an oak rocker over the head of a nurse who was too rough with my kid. If you're listening to the recording, I just flashed everybody, and that's what I did. Vomiting if that happened. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is I had the blessing of having a critically ill child. There was about 9 years of it. She had a major surgery and all of a sudden was great. Today that child is 41 years old and she works in infrastructure. She's brilliant and she's capable. I decided I was going to have a normal child, right? What are the odds? And so I start having problems carrying that child. Anyway, I end up a little bit early after being in bed for 5 months, which was really fun, not at all. I remember this one night, there's a lot of bikers where I live now, and I remember this one night they were going to bring a meeting to my house, and there I am lying in bed with a pregnant stomach, surrounded by like guys in leather who roared up in the driveway on their motorcycles. It was really awkward. But the baby was born the day of a 7.1 earthquake, where the hospital was quite demolished in the process. Baby's fine. Baby is 36, living in New York as a playwright and an actor. But it was not exactly what I ordered off the menu. And one more time, I was saying, what hath God wrought? Why is this happening to me, right? My husband at the time left me after 26 years, and I was devastated for 4 years. If you're in here and you're devastated about the end of a relationship, don't use go to meetings, you'll be okay. I've been remarried for 8 years now to poor Schmo, and that's my phone ringing. It's in my hearing aid right now. Life is grand. And what I have to say is that it's work. It's a lot of work. I have a chronic pain condition. If you're judging me for having a mobility scooter and you decided I'm faking it, you're absolutely right. So if you're in this room and you have a chronic pain condition and you just feel like it's impossible to stay clean, I don't know how long I'll be able to. Can somebody shut that off? That's a reminder to put drops in my dog's eye. If you're in here with a chronic pain condition, You can actually not abuse medication. You can have surgeries and things. You can be accountable. You can write down what you take at what time and report it to your sponsor every night at 6 p.m. At least that's what I do. And there's also a great pamphlet called In Times of Illness that you can use. You do not have to lose your recovery because you are recovering or sick. And the final thing I wanted to say is I used to be really envious of women who would like, or anybody who would show up at a convention and they'd have this gaggle of sponsees behind them like quail, just like, oh, I'm going to a convention in Zambia and 75 of my sponsees are coming with me because I'm, But what I want to say in conclusion, I know, I'm weird. In conclusion, Scott is so happy I'm done. He's just like, yeah. My favorite thing in my life are my sponsees. All this crap about if you don't have a health sponsor, well, you're the wrong sponsor. Whatever. But the sponsees that are somehow miraculously in my life, and the grand sponsees in us, I am so filled with love with these folks. I can't even tell you how it's kind of like if there was a good parent on Christmas Eve and all excited about wrapping the presents to gift your kids. This is like having these people I can't wait to think of new wonderful things to surprise them with because that's how cool they are. The honor, like I'm not great at service. I'm a co-secretary of a meeting and I do some online stuff. But the one-on-one service, don't lack of credit for doing, there's a word, I don't know English much, but to be able to quiet your brain enough and tell yourself, listen deeply and do not tell jokes. Listen deeply to what this person is saying. Ask a power greater than yourself to give you something generous for this person. And honor their experience and just the exchange that happens when somebody's reading you a step. Hint! it's just priceless and it's deep and it's rich. And if there's ever anything in my life, you know, they always say, like when you're croaking, you tell yourself, I wish I ate more ice cream and fewer green beans. If there's anything I'm going to be grateful for when I pass off this mortal coil, it's going to be for the experience of the one-on-one connection with sponsees who've entrusted me with their, advice. They want advice for their recovery. I don't believe in hierarchy in recovery. I believe it is a mutual, equal relationship that we are gifted with. And I think that's it. Okay, bye.
Love you too. So it's the old timers meeting. Isn't there a bathroom break? Anyhow, 25 I can maybe do. That's what I worry about wherever I go now, right? Where's the bathroom? Can I get there quickly? And that's a blessing of this program. I used to look for the bathroom to go fix, right? So I don't have to do that anymore. And then I wouldn't come out. And people didn't know if I was alive or not. So thank God I use it like it's supposed to be used today. I want to thank the committee for asking me to share tonight. This convention is very special, as are all conventions and all meetings. This reminds me of my mother, Vita. And I'll get through it. I had a thought of her today. I think as I get older and older, maybe I get a little softer, more emotional. And, you know, she played a big role in my recovery, too. And she had less time than me. So it's quality, not quantity. And I keep telling Karen, I don't know if she believes me, but she played a big role, too. Because it's about being an example. And when she went through that with her children, I saw her at meetings. Sometimes sharing about it, but still trying to enjoy being clean. I'm like, wow, you can do both? It's not like, it's got to be good or I go use. It doesn't always have to be that way. And I can be okay with not being okay. I keep hearing that on the radio. I don't know what I'm listening to, but yeah, it is in English, because like my honey over there one day said she was listening to the Mexican channel all day and didn't understand Spanish at all, but it still, you know, kept her mind off the things. God, I see people here tonight that I came in with, my OGs, my original, group, support group. I survived Survivors Club, you know. Had to bail out my wife at the time, I think, because she was dealing or something over there. It was pretty crazy. I don't know. You had to be beat up to want to stay clean through all of that. You know, I figured, well, this is not as bad as it was, you know. It took me 2 car accidents to get into the treatment center I went to in North Hollywood. Once I went to score and got in a car accident right at the corner of the treatment center there. And I'm not, but I didn't know that was a God shot or a premonition or whatever. And then the other time I went there with my mom, because we used drugs together. And we used to go to places where we thought that they would give you medication you could take home to detox. They did that at some hospitals, Coral Hydrate, Valium, you know, weak stuff. But if you took it all at once, it was pretty good. So we thought this treatment center offered that. And we're in there, our nose running. And, you know, my dad had passed, just to catch up real quick. You know, I used with the whole family. He was gone. Now I'm man of the house. I'm using with my mom. I didn't even call her mom. I called her Vita. So we went to this treatment center. We waited out in the lobby for hours, it seemed like, waiting for someone to come see us, talk to us, give us our meds. Finally, after 6 hours, because they want you to be willing, they come out and they said, where's your suitcases? And then, what are you talking about? What do you mean suitcases? You didn't give us that much drugs or that many drugs? I'm like, this, I love this place. So, you know, then he proceeded to tell me, no, this is a live-in facility, you know, total abstinence. That's the first time I heard of that word. That's nonsense. Total abstinence? You know, I just know how to get the right combination and I'll be good to go. So we told him, see you later. That was a burn. On to the next place. That was the second time. Actually, it was the third time. I had a joint suspended and probation and, court cases hanging over my head, and I got busted, and my PO at the time said, okay, well, we'll try treatment for you. And so he took me somewhere else at first, and I just played it off. I told him, yeah, my PO wants me here. You know, they want to know that you want to get clean, right? That's when it works. So they didn't accept me. I'm like, good, I get to go home. So I went to this other place in North Hollywood and tried to run the same game. They said, come on in. They'll take anybody at that place. And I'll leave it anonymous. You all know what I'm talking about, probably. And so I ended up in that place. And the seed was planted. Something about what it says about this workshop, I guess, when the miracle happened, is it? And I had to think about that. I always like to hear that when the miracle happened. When did you decide to stay clean? I know we were all compulsive, impulsive, you know, and have this disease, addiction. And that's when it was. The seed was planted. I was in there for 30 days and I left because someone told me I could get loaded and they wouldn't know. I said, okay. And two sips of vodka didn't get me loaded, but I lost my clean time. I relapsed. So I had to leave that place. And I felt bad. And I felt like I never felt bad about drinking two sips of vodka or two shots of heroin or 10 secondals, barbiturates. I never felt bad. The seed was planted. I saw other people staying clean, and they were dope fiends like us. You know, I got in at the right time. You know, some of them were, a lot meaner and tougher and did more time than me, but I wasn't going to let them scare me out of here. So I want to tell you whoever you are, don't let anyone scare you out of here or tell you that you haven't used enough for any of that or that we're a different kind of dope fiend than you. Stay here. Stay here and keep coming back. There's a seat on here with your name on it. And so I left that place, and of course I had to get back in or I would go do a prison term. So I went back and I felt like I was coming home. I never felt that. I didn't feel that at home. I came to my home. The police were there. Someone was getting hit. Someone was getting beaten up. You know, couldn't find my sister and my brothers. They were all hiding, you know. And I'm glad you're here, Tina. And makes me think of this convention as well. And so I made it back, and I knew I was coming home. You know, you're my family. And I say that a lot. It's a big-ass family, though, so don't all hit me up for money or anything. I don't have any. You know, I was told I just have to carry the message, you know, not the addict. I think that was in our just for today. Good timing. So, what I learned is that I had to surrender. I hadn't surrendered, and I hadn't continued to work the steps until that relationship happened. That always happens at first. It's important to get a relationship right away because you'll be working the steps the next day. I immediately was calling my sponsor, you know, and he's like, "So how's that inventory coming along?" And I only had like 6 months. They didn't play back then. You know, we had this program, and it's not like when you're ready, it's like, are you clean? You're working the steps now. And I'm not a big book thumper, don't get me wrong. I don't, you know, I haven't always been that way. I've been complacent. I've done wrong things, bad things, come back to the program, paid the price for it, made amends and stuff like that. But this guy said, I called him one day after about a month, 46 weeks, and he says, how's that inventory coming along? And I said, oh, I'll get to it. If you don't have that inventory in 2 weeks, get another sponsor. So what happened is my wife got pregnant at the time, and I had a son, and I knew that was God working in my life for me, because my childhood was, there was a lot of violence, and there was no picnics. Unless we went out together to Boost from the shopping market, we did get a lot of meat that way, cattle rustling and stuff like that, if you're familiar with the term. Those were my outings with my parents, you know. When we were at the dinner table, we didn't talk about universities. We talked about who's got the bag, you know, and what prison I'd be going to. My father told me, yeah, no, you're not going to make UCLA. Probably Chino or Soledad. You know, I've been to Soledad, Quentin, you know. I was getting bad information. And when I got here, the right people were put in my life. Thank you. Thank all of you today. And many of you that were back there, back at that time with me. We had a group that, because we didn't know how to do relationships, you know. It was all about me, what I can get out of it. And so things weren't working out most of the time. And we'd get together and we'd commiserate. We had like the Lonely Hearts Club band is what we named it. We were all crying about someone we lost and gossiping, which was kind of cool. We didn't have like streaming devices or HBO back then. We had each other's stories. Did you hear so-and-so's with so-and-so? Really? Oh, that ain't gonna work. You know how they came up with the term about no cross-talking? It was in meetings back when we had meetings. Because if you broke up in a relationship, you were going to end up in the one and only meeting in the valley, and that ex would be there with her new guy, and you'd be sharing about, I want to kill somebody, but... My sponsor said to turn it over. I'm going to turn him over. And we'd get it out that way, and most of the time, it was amicable. Is that the right word? I don't know. I didn't. You know, I got a GED in Wayside on a Rancho. That's the best I could do. So, you know, most of the time, it would be friendly. We could talk it out, but every now and then, someone would have to throw a punch or bite someone. Inside joke. We're talking about history, right? There's some history to that, you know, and... That was in the same place where Jimmy Kay had meetings too, you know, and so that's another thing, you know, our wild, wild west, you know, got some meetings closed down, you know, motorcycles too loud, cigarette butts all over the place, fights, you know, and but we'd open up again and again. This program, I was going to say it's like a virus, but it's not a virus. It just keeps going on, you know what I mean, and mutating. No, that's not right either. But you know what I mean, it just keeps going on. Okay, and I'll give an example. COVID. Didn't stop us. You got a laptop, computer? Here's your login ID. What? So I'm okay with that. Because I'm older, I get home, I'm tired. Laptop sounds good to me, you know. Hey, what's happening, homie? You know, Carnal, you know, well, you know, and everything was good. We'd have a meeting. And I knew a lot of the people. So fortunately, I felt the connection. And I get it if you don't feel it on a computer screen. Now you have a choice where to go. But my point was, can't stop us. This room's filled, you know. I didn't want to look back there while I was sitting down waiting to come up here. You know, I just kept looking at Karen. Keep going, Karen. Keep going. You can go over. Encore. Encore. And so, you know, in my life, the things that happened to me, you know, a family, I was able to be a loving dad, a loving son because of Narcotics Anonymous. My mom eventually got clean when I had about 18 months clean. Vita. Everyone thinks she has more time than me. And I have more time. But I will say she was more prominent than me. She was so involved. Everybody did know her. She was so of service and so loving. You know, I couldn't believe it. You know, that I had such a loving mom. I think that's what kept me alive. Even when things were bad out there, you know, and I loved her too. I would take a bullet for her, and almost did in some of the drug raids. Almost did. She stopped me. I was ready to go. If you know what Gorilla Biscuits are, or Second Out of Barbiche, yeah, rise, my people. Anyway, if you know, man, you can take on anybody. And that was me. And they would tell me about how the fight went afterwards. Dude, you were good, and then you weren't so good. And so I lived through that, you know, and I have to thank God for every day clean, every day that I wake up. And I remember those times when I overdosed and was pronounced dead, you know, runned over, beaten up, overdosed. And I think I was only 16 by then, you know what I mean? There was more to come. And I got clean when I was 22 years old. My clean date is January 12, 1976. Thank you, Narcotics Anonymous. Thank you, Higher Power. Thank you, everybody that's in this room. I did get really excited this week. Having 50 years clean. I don't know why, it just did sound like a lot. I mean, at one of the meetings, and I see him here. I said, so how does it feel, to, you know, having all that time? He's like, just another day. I go, well, yeah, just sort of. But then it sunk in later. 50 years, my God. I don't know if it's because I'm getting older, because I didn't plan it. And it's best not to plan it. It's best to go one day at a time, 1 minute at a time. Yeah, we'd have to sit on our hands and all those things, you know. Like I said, we didn't have streaming devices. You know, we had to make up stuff to do. We'd go help each other. You know, that was amazing, you know. I could call someone I hadn't seen for months and tell, man, my girlfriend left. I'll be right there, you know, and we'd all get together. So-and-so's in the hospital. We had addicts dying from the hep C and, you know, cirrhosis and the other diseases too, and we'd show up for them. You know, Narcotics Anonymous, the fellowship, my sponsor, taught me how to be there for other people, you know, and sure enough, you know, it came back to me. When my mom died, she had 19 years clean. And I made a phone call, and the house was filled with people who cared about her and cared about us. When my brother overdosed, same thing. You know, he made it to a lot of meetings, and, you know, we prayed for him all the time. And, you know, that was in the Just for Today, too, that, you know, we want the best for him. And no matter what we say, that's why all we can do is carry the message. We can't change anybody. They got to want it. But my first sponsor did say, best you can do is be an example. Maybe they'll want it, be an attraction. That's not always easy, you know. But I did that. My mom called me one day and wanted to get clean. Then my brother, same thing. And my sister. And then my youngest brother had days clean, though. This program works. It's amazing that you can stay clean for a day. And that motivates me. How about another day? Back when we had no streaming devices and we were gossiping, it'd be like, I want to stick around and see what happens to Jack and Seth. Yeah, I'll call you, man. Yeah. That was the excitement for me. Okay, tomorrow I'm thinking about it. You know, okay, but don't say anything. No gossip. You know, no malicious gossip. We would put a little twist on. It's not malicious. Not malicious, just passing it on, you know. And, you know, we did have one thing called Televita. Because she loved to talk, you know. And God bless her. Yeah, I think about her a lot when I'm here, and I like to feel that. And my sister, of course, love you. And my relationship I'm in now, love you. Honey. And my son, I mean, you know, I can't brag because, you know, the kids that we have, the children, what they decide to do in their life is on them. And all I can do is be there and support them. And yeah, my son did graduate from Santa Barbara University. And Thank you. Thank you, N.A., because that wouldn't happen without me being clean. The whole thing about that is that he had special needs as a kid. And I had to take him to school and worry about him, because I know how kids can be mean. I had to see him go on the bus, and I had to be there. I was a single parent in this program. Can you imagine? You know, we had a little group there, single parent group. We would babysit for each other while one goes to a meeting and you got to watch your kids, you know, and it was great. The old days were really good, and it doesn't have to change, you know. But my son got through that, and I don't know how he ended up in a university, and now he's a CPA. And, you know, I'm so proud of him. And our daughter, she's amazing. She can do anything. She graduated college, what, 4 years early? I mean, no? 1 year? I brag. 4. We should have a DNA test. They can't be related to us, right? That's amazing. But life is amazing, all the things that happen in life. And sometimes things aren't so great, and it's a blessing to have people like we have in Narcotics Anonymous that'll walk through it with you. when they say never alone, that's like for real. You know what I mean? My phone's blowing up all the time. You know, I talk to an addict every day. I didn't used to always do that because I didn't have unlimited calling on my cell phone. So you can use technology for a good thing. That's all I can say. I won't talk about the other stuff going on. But, you know, if it's for something positive, like being online, being in a meeting, then that's good. This program changes my thinking completely. I question when I take even a Advil. You can ask Carrie. She's like, I don't know if I should take this. Let me hurt some more. I'm a good martyr. Is that all you got? Man, I've been into the dentist and didn't have Novocaine for a filling. Yeah. And one doctor told me, you have a high tolerance for pain. And in my head, I'm thinking, please stop. Please stop. Just fake it, you know, like that's what I did using. And now we can turn everything, all our, you know, abilities that we had, our skills, or all that, we can turn around to something positive. I see people doing that in their lives, you know. They like to talk to people, or they become salesmen, or they love computers and stuff. They get their degrees, you know. I don't know how I ended up cleaning pools, but that was my destiny. Probably because I don't want to talk to anyone all the time. No, but that's not true. I love people, and today I do. You can ask Carrie. We'll go to the market and talk to people. How do you know if that tomato's really ripe? And that guy dropped it. I saw it rolling over there on the ground, and he didn't even pick it up. And someone else picked it up and put it in the bin. I'm not taking it. So, because this program works in the rooms, out of the rooms, you know, family, everywhere. That's what I've learned. And you know, I do have a job that I like today. I mean, you know, I've been doing it for 40 years? Oh, my God. No wonder people tell me to retire. I didn't know I've been working so much because I'm just like happy to get up and go out and I get to work. I get to go see the doctor. I have an appointment scheduled for February 2nd, I think, you know, do my blood work, you know, do what I can. And I do work spiritual principles today. You know, I try to. I love our literature. It does break it down. You got to break it down for me. You know, the literature that we have. Yeah, we didn't have it. We did tough it out. And we honestly borrowed from the other program. I thank God for our predecessors. I thank God for Jimmy Kay. I met him. I was at his house, nail biting and all. He gave us some literature to pass out. I went over there. This guy picked me up and said, you want to go play handball? I go, yeah, homie. So we're going to play handball. So we're going to make one stop. He's clean. The guy's clean. And where are we going? He goes, I just want to stop this place. We're going to pick up some literature. And I'll introduce you to this man. You know, he helped start this program. Okay. So I met him. He wasn't an addict like me, you know. But he was nice. He invited us in her house. Most people didn't invite me in their house, so he did. And he gave us these pamphlets. And, you know, then this guy's telling me, you know who that is? I go, wow. And but I couldn't vision this like he did. I'm like, I want to save my ass. And he made it possible for all of us to save our ass. This man had a vision and followed it through. Yeah, he got excited when he got a phone call from another state, right? Now I know why. Thank God. You know, thank you. And we did pass out. Is that a timer?
No.
Okay. We did pass out those pamphlets to a treatment center and then somewhere else. You know, I got to do that. We had them in the trunk of this guy's car, like, but instead of selling stereo speakers and shit, we were giving away literature and stuff like that. I don't know why I felt good, you know. I didn't know. Okay, cool. Can we go play handball now? And we did. And I would see him at a meeting. Talking about Moore Park, right? You know, that was a cool meeting. That was candlelight. honest sharing. Like I said, if someone hated someone, they'd share it. Yeah. And yeah, a lot of us didn't work steps back then and or have sponsors. You know, I'll tell one story because this is back in the day. Getting a motorcycle was important. And to be a member of the NA Angels is what I call them. I had a motorcycle before I had a car, you know, because it was cool. I worked at a tire store. I went through this treatment center and got kicked out. And it was bogus, by the way. I have it documented. It was a bogus test. They said I was dirty. I wasn't. And I wasn't because I tested for my PO. And that's another thing, too. Things happen sometimes, not the way you plan it, and that was supposed to happen. It was time for me to leave that treatment center. I had phone numbers ready. I called people. I had a place to stay. Thank God I had all that, or I'd have been back in the streets. I called my PO. He said, no, just come in and test. If you're clean, you're good. And I tested. So I have documentation. That's all I'm saying. So my clean date is real, you know, so. I saw my PO and I said, what do I do? What do I do now? I didn't know I was going to leave so early. He says, no, don't worry about it. Just get a bed and go to meetings. He wasn't even in the program and he knew how simple this was and how it worked. He could see how it worked. So I got a bed. There was a woman in that bed. And, so I had to put a little twist on it, you know. Yeah, I went to meetings though and I got a job. And she got pregnant, and I had a baby, and that changed my life. So I did what he said, you know, and that was God working in my life, you know. She got loaded, and by that time I'm like, I'm not going to get loaded because she got loaded. I got to check this program out. I want to see what happens to Jack and Sarah tomorrow. I'm not going to get loaded. I got, you know, these people. I'm just, you know, so-and-so got in a fight with so-and-so. I wonder if they're going to rematch. You know, that was the big excitement. Rematch. And, you know, hook up with somebody else, you know. I used to listen to that song, you know. She used to be my girl and cry. I had to turn the radio off, man. I couldn't do it anymore. And, you know, thank God for Narcotics Anonymous and my sponsors. I keep until they pass. And, you know, I don't want them to pass, but, you know, I keep them and I follow direction when as much as I can. And I'm not perfect, but, this whole thing worked out way better than I thought it would, okay? I think I don't have enough, but I gotta tell you honestly, I have more today than I had when I got here. So, if you're doing the math for me, Tony, if I think I should have 2 million in the bank, which I have about 2,000, the point is, I have more than I had when I got here, okay? That's all that counts. And I have all of you people that I didn't have. I hung out with dope fiends and I still do. But you're clean. That's a huge difference. It's like, I hung around with scum of the earth. Dope fiends, badass. I mean, they'd do anything. And you can change that whole energy into something positive rather than all that negativity of stealing and lying and hurting. Now it's like helping and being compassionate and forgiving. That's the way I look at it. I just try and turn that around. You know, I don't want to analyze, I want to utilize. They say that anymore? I mean, it's like the steps will break it down for me. Got it, I acknowledge. Was that? Was it not? I don't know. Anyway, I hear people break down the disease, doctors and stuff like that, and it's all cool. But all I know is that you know, and I believe it for all of us, that there is a higher power, and that somehow I made it here, I shouldn't have, you know, there's a friend of mine out here in 1-2-3rd row right there, great t-shirt, and he always says, you know, we take cakes and all that, and it's like, I didn't do anything, I just didn't screw up. That's a good start. Quit screwing up. You know what I mean? My sister's got 30-something years. 31, my God. Congratulations. And, you know, this program is amazing. That's all I can say. Please, you know, give it a chance. I don't even know how to end other than be an example. You might save someone you love, you know, and that's important. You might save someone you don't know and become to love them. You know, I've come to love and I've had to forgive. I've had to, you know, but I've been forgiven. So who am I to say, you know, and I remember that every day when I get up. That I'm grateful for another day clean. Thank you for letting me share.
Let's thank, we're almost done. Let's thank both of our speakers for sharing their experience, strength, and hope. Asked to read just for today and close the meeting with a third step prayer.
Yesenia Addict. Just for today, tell yourself, just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program. I will try to follow it to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using and have found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear. Okay. After a moment of silence, if we can all get together to say the third step prayer.